the less I live. Yet not I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me, right? I mean, I in one sense, am no longer living, but yet I'm living because I'm alive in Christ, right? So who am I? Josh and I, on the way here, we were talking, and he says, well, who are you? And I just said, well, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, right? I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm wholly accepted and beloved in the faith. Who am I in Christ Jesus? This is who I am. So who are we? Who are we? And what happened when we got saved? And here's the deal is that we got saved in our spirits and it became new, but our mind still thought the same way. Our bodies looked the same way. So on the outside and even in our perception sometimes, we were exactly the same. But what God is trying to do is to get us looking from the inside out rather than the outside in. Right? In other words, God's trying to get us to look at how things, the reality of the way things are on the inside. Because when we can come to that place, it'll affect the outside. Right? Come on. I've already been, watch this, I've already been given eternal life. Eternal sozo. What does that mean? That means deliverance. That means wholeness. That means healing. That's already been done for me, and it's already on the inside. Everything that I have need of from God has already happened on the inside. So my objective is to find out who that is, what that is, and what that should mean to me right now. Right? Somebody said, well, you know, you're getting older. You know, your mind might shrink down a little bit. Well, I said, well, you know, that might be true, but I have the mind of Christ. And I don't think just the way I used to think. I can remember somebody who was older was going back to school, and they said to me, you know, man, I haven't been in school in a long time. I don't know if I can do this. Even when I was in school, I had a hard time remembering to take tests. Well, I said, well, quit thinking out of your mind and start listening out of your spirit. Because the Spirit of God will bring all things back to your remembrance. So you have a different perspective now than what you used to have. And tonight we want to look at, because last week I got a comment on, I ended in Romans chapter 8, so let's go there. But I ended in Romans chapter 8, and I said, when you read Romans chapter 8, you have to look at it from this perspective. There were people who were born again and people who were not. If you're born again, you're in the spirit. But if you're not born again, you're in the flesh. And if you're not renewed in the spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no way for you to be in the spirit. But if you're born again, you're in the spirit. Now there's some wording in here that, and years ago, I was confused by and kind of perplexed by, because I almost felt like a yo-yo. Well, if I'm thinking right and doing everything right, then I'm in the Spirit, and then God can speak to me and use me. But if I'm not doing everything right, and if I slip up, if I mess up, well, then maybe God can't speak to me so much because I haven't done enough to be right where He needs me to be. Right? And so there was this yo-yo thing almost going on. And it's like, I need to get that settled in my heart. And what I found out is that I'm in Christ. And the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Now don't misunderstand me. The Bible's really clear. If you sin, you're going to bear the consequences of those sins. Right? If you're a liar, people aren't going to believe you. You know, if you're a thief, you might go to jail. Even if you're saved, man, there are saved thieves in jail right now, right? But there's a consequence to sin. But the reality is my deliverance from being a thief or being a liar or being, you know, perverted or whatever it is, my deliverance has already happened through Christ Jesus, and I've got to learn how to get that from the inside out. I need to start reading and looking at the Bible from an insider. An insider. You know, there are many people in the news, and you've heard this before, where people have gone to jail. The one I'm thinking about is Martha Stewart years ago. She went into prison because she got accused and convicted of insider trading. That meant that she had inside information and she made an investment based on some information that wasn't really fair to everybody else, and that's called insider trading. Well, if you're born again, you have some insider information. You have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Come on. And so when we read this, and then we're going to go back through and look at some things, but verse 1 of chapter 8 of Romans says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Now the King James and the New King James will say, "who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And again, that's, for me, is where I was going, well, am I walking in the Spirit or am I walking according to the flesh? I've determined in my heart and in my mind that I'm in Christ Jesus, and in Christ Jesus, if I'll walk by my Spirit, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit because of my relationship with Him, not based on what I've done. And again, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." That word is so incredible. Condemnation, what does that mean? That means the sentence that's due to the crime that's been committed. Right? And I liked Westerns and you know, love the Westerns, right? But if you were, like you were a cattle thief, And you were convicted of being a cattle thief, the judge would say, I condemn you to be hung by the neck at noon tomorrow. And boy, it was done. So the condemnation of stealing cattle was, you know, a rope, right? Get a rope and hang it, right? But watch this. What this is saying is that if you're in Christ Jesus, if your life is hidden in Him, if you're in Him, there is no more connection to the sin, or the penalty of that sin has already been taken care of. So if I'm in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation, no sentence that is awaiting me in the future or in the past, because it's already been dealt with. Right? But watch this. This is really interesting because, again, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." So I just want to spend a minute finding out what the therefore is there for. Right? It says, "There is therefore now." Therefore, what does that mean? That means based on everything that's come up to this point in my letter, the rest of this is applying. So I'm not going to do a comprehensive thing, but I want to just look at a few verses in Romans that lead us up to this point, right? And so that we can have that as our basis for what we're going to say later. So go back to chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. That's a good place to start. Romans chapter 1. And I don't know if you tell, but I'm excited, right? Verse 16 says this, Paul speaking, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now look at that wording, because he didn't say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus." He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now you'd say, but they're the same person. Yes, they are, but the title indicates what he accomplished or what his purpose was for. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, the one that came to deliver his people not only from sin, but from the effects of sin, but also the Messiah, the Christ means I'm the one who was going to take sin for my people so that they could be reconciled back to God. I'm not ashamed of the good news that God has made the way that all men can come to Jesus and through Jesus have a relationship with God. That's good news. I said that's good news. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. I don't want to get hung up a lot here, but watch this. It says it's the power of God for salvation. It's not how much I work at it. It's not how good I am. It's not how many hours I've prayed. It's not how many, you know, times I've been in church. It's not, you know, come on. It's the power of God. It's the might of God. It's the authority of God which determines he's the righteous judge that's determined once and for all that through Jesus, those who knew no sin could now be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's by his power, it's by his authority. He's determined it and he's done it. And the great, awesome work that was done on the cross. Now look at verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We have been justified because of our association with Jesus. And our entrance into that, we'll see in a minute, but our entrance into that and our entrance to living through that is faith. What is faith? Faith is simply saying, I believe what he said. And not only do I believe what he said, I believe what he said is for me. I am making my identity in what he said. My identity is no longer in who I've been. My identity is what he said. Ooh, glory to God. So when he says something, that's who I identify with. People out there today looking, well, I identify with this and I identify with that. It's craziness. But the reality is my identity is hidden in Christ. In other words, my everything that I am, everything that I'm associated with is wrapped up into my identity in him. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. I mean, listen, if you're really awesome about this, the devil will try to talk you out of this, but even the devil looks at you with your identity in him. See, because when I say I'm in Christ Jesus and I use the name of Jesus, his knee has to bow to my command. He has to come out of people that he's been tormenting because my identity is in him. And when I say it, it's just like he said it because my identity is in him. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, and look at verse 23. Romans chapter 2 and verse 23 says, and you make your boasts in the law, and you dishonor God through breaking the law. Now let me just get this down into you. The law, watch this, the law is if you do all of these things that God has commanded, then you'll be accepted. But if you mess up in any of them, then you'll be subject to bringing sacrifice in order for those to be covered over. That was the law. So in other words, the law was, listen, and there were many people who tried their best. And Paul even said it this way, as far as the law goes, I was blameless. I did everything exactly right. But then I found out if you just mess up in one little bit, it's like you mess the whole thing over. And the whole purpose of the law was to point out that you needed somebody to take your place because you couldn't do it on your own. Sin was dormant. It was dominating you. It was part of your bloodline because you're backed up all the way to Adam. You couldn't do it on your own. The whole purpose of the law was to show you that you needed Jesus. That you needed Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at this now. It says, verse 24 says, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision." What was the circumcision? The circumcision was the outward sign of your relationship with God. In other words, circumcision, and we all know what that is. If you were in a locker room taking showers, you'd know which ones were associated with God because they had been circumcised and the others hadn't. But this is the identity of your relationship with God. Glory to God. Watch this now. Verse 26 says, "Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Verse 27, "And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For watch this, for he is not a Jew who is an outward one, nor is circumcision that which is an outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision that is of the heart in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." In other words, and watch this, we were marked when we became born again Christians with a circumcision in our heart. In other words, we were separated unto God, and it's not our effort that makes us look holy before God. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us righteous. Right? So I'm in Him and He's in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so good. It's so good. Hallelujah. Now go to chapter 3, and we'll go to verse 22. Watch this. I didn't have that in the notes, Josh. So verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All of us, everybody, everyone. Chapter 3, verse 23. Verse 24, "Having been being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, the demonstration of His righteousness, because in His forbearance, the forbearance of God had passed over the sins that were previously committed." Watch, this is all this is saying, is that the law cannot get you saved, but God had a plan for your salvation, and it was through the blood of Jesus Christ. And all of us are in the same boat. Right? And we've done this, and we still do this, it's like, well, man, that man must really be holy. They must pray enough, they must fast enough, they must do all of this enough in order for them to be in the position that I see that they're in. But the reality is all of the acts to step toward righteousness, no matter how big they are or how great they are, can never get you there. It's only the blood of Jesus. But through the blood of Jesus, we've all been made right. I'm right with God, and God is right with me, and He loves me, and I'm accepted in His kingdom because the blood of Jesus has made me new on the inside. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Look at chapter 4. I mean, there's so much that we could get into, but look at chapter 4. Verse 24, it says, "But also for us it shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered because of our offenses and was raised of our justification." I'm justified before God, not based on me or what I've done, but I'm justified before God by what He did. Right? As far as God is concerned, it's just as if I never did the things that would have separated me from God. That's powerful. We're talking about therefore right now. And when we get to that place where we begin to talk in Romans chapter 8 about therefore, what we're really talking about is the work that Jesus did and who I am standing in the finished work of the cross. Right? I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm beloved, right? I'm accepted. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. "Having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." In other words, because I know who I am, I have this assurance that one day when I go to be with Him or when He comes back to get His saints, I'm going with Him and I'm going to be in His presence justified for all eternity. But what did Jesus say? All those that believe on Him have eternal life now. What does that mean? That means this. And get this into your heart. Start to see yourself like this. I have eternal life on the inside of me. And the proof of that is that I've been accepted in the Beloved. And my access into every bit of grace is just believing that God did it. And my accepting that, my believing that, my applying that to my own heart has given me access to everything that He's offered to me. Hallelujah. Let's just go on. This is so good. Verse 3, it says, "Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance." What does that mean? That means you have to live this life out. And in this life, you're going to have tribulation. And some of it's going to be self-imposed. Right? Some of it's going to be imposed by others. But you're not alone. And you have hope. You have hope. And perseverance, verse 4, character, and character, hope. "Now the hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Come on. I've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. The love of God has been poured. Who am I? I am one who is loved by God. And look at this. I mean, just get this picture for a minute. It's like God came down there and He took the top of your head off and started pouring His love in, so that you were so filled with His love that it started spewing over the top so that it could be poured out to everybody else. Right? That's a picture of who we are. Even if we're filled with the Spirit, the Bible says that we're not supposed to be just filled with the Spirit. So we go, boy, I've got it. We're supposed to be so filled with the Spirit and continually being filled with the Spirit that it spills out. I'm a vessel of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That God can use me to touch somebody else. Oh, glory to God. But who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm filled with the love of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. Now, let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6. We're finding out what the therefore is there for. Right? And again, this is very, 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 very limited in its scope. I could spend months developing this. Look at this in verse 3. It says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" That is so important. Baptism means to be immersed. It means to be immersed. You know, when I'm baptizing people in water now, I want to make sure that they're all the way under. Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. I want to make sure that every hair, every, you know, if they've got their shirts are bubbling up, I'm stuffing that down too. Right? I want them completely submerged. Why? Because it's a sign, it's an outward appearance of what's happened. When I am baptized, I'm recognizing what Jesus did in me, that I was buried with him in his death. Right? I'm totally, completely identified with the death of Jesus. Because he who knew no sin was not legally killed. Death could not kill him unless he gave his life up. But he gave his life up because I deserved the death that he got. So I'm no longer baptized in my death, I'm baptized in his death. Yes. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Now look at this, verse 4. "Therefore we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life." What does that mean? As I was identified with his death, I must walk my life out under the absolute awareness that I've been raised with him also. And watch this. I love the statement that we should walk in the newness of life. Get that picture, the newness of life. Now, this doesn't even come close to suggesting or painting the picture that as it should. But right now we're in wintertime. Everything's dead. But just in a few months, we're going to start seeing buds come out on trees. And we're going to see leaves and those that seem like they're dead and like there's no life in them at all of a sudden are going to start to bloom again. Right? Human beings, human mankind was absolutely dead in their sin without any hope of producing spiritual fruit because of the death that reigned in them. But when Jesus came in and I'm identified with the newness of life, all of a sudden, what's that? What's that happen? Back in 1977, on a Tuesday afternoon, evening in August, when I gave my heart to the Lord, the next day, I'm sure the devil was going, what is that? What is that? I'm seeing some life in that boy. He's different. Because I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In chapter 7, and we're not going to go there, but Paul is talking about, said, man, I got this war going on inside of me. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I should, you know, on and on and on and on. He goes on. He says, who's able to deliver me? But he says, but thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I don't have to deliver myself. He's already done the delivering. Oh, glory to God. My answer to my sin, my answer to my addiction, my answer to everything that I don't even like about myself is to put that to death and identify with the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. Come on, inside of us right now, right now, right now, right now. Sin will no longer have dominion over me, not because I'm toughing it out, not because I'm trying hard enough, not because I'm just, you know, bless God, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that. In fact, I would tell you to quit saying that. And instead of that, begin to say, I'm walking in the newness of life. I've got the Spirit of God inside of me. Jesus has made it so that I can reign in this life, that I can walk in the Spirit so that I can... In Galatians chapter 5, it says it this way. It says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Woo-hoo, glory to God. Glory to God. Go back now to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And we're going to read these verses now from a positional truth of who we are in Christ Jesus, identified with Him. I was at one time outside, but now I'm on the inside. And the life of God is living in me. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's me. I said, that's me. Is that you? Woo! Glory to God, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm walking not according to my ability to be right, but I'm walking in the Spirit that Jesus gave to me and I inherited through my association with His death, burial, and resurrection. Now watch this, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. That's the law that I walk under because I became born again and my life is hidden in Him. This is me, right? Now, again, let's look at that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm no longer under the system that says, you sin, you die. And even if you get that sin covered, if you mess up again, you better get back to the temple and get another lamb or another turtle dove or something and get that taken care of, because if you don't, you're in trouble. I'm no longer under that law. I'm under the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That's the law that I live under. It's absolutely true that I've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am in Him. Glory to God. Watch this. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? That means He took the condemnation that was associated with every one of your sins in His own flesh, so that now that condemnation has no power over you because you've been freed from it. I am no longer living under the law of sin and death, but I'm living under the law of life that's in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. That's who I am. I'm not going back and forth, but I'm living in the reality of what He's done and who He is. Come on, can I get somebody excited tonight? Hallelujah. Now watch this. That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Watch again, before I was going, okay, if I walk just right, then I'll be on this camp. But if I don't walk just right, I'll be back in this camp. But the reality is watch this, that the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh. Jesus did. What verse are we on? Verse 4, right? Okay, let me get back here. That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. When were the righteous law, the requirements of the law fulfilled in us? When Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for us, and we entered into that when by faith we accepted the grace, the free gift of God. That's when I entered into that. And now listen to me. The righteous requirements of the law have already been completed for me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know what that means? Listen, in the Old Testament, you could not walk into the holy place unless you were a priest who was cleansed by the water of the Word. I'm not going to go deep into this. But you especially couldn't go into the Holy of Holies because of the fact that if you went in there and you weren't properly the proper person at the proper time, you could wind up dead because you weren't holy enough to be there. But when Jesus died, the Bible and even Josephus talks about how the curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom, saying that access is no longer denied because I am in Christ Jesus. I can walk through the holy place and into His presence, and I can stand before Him absolutely free from condemnation because that condemnation has been taken out of the way. Woo! Glory to God. The requirements of the law were fulfilled in me because I'm walking not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit because I'm in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Right? Now there is a real key here that if you want to walk in this in its fullness, we've got to put more attention to the things of the Spirit than we do of the flesh. Right? Because we're living way below our privileges if all we're doing is listening to the world and their standards. And listen, that's not a good place to be. But we're not of the world. Paul said, we're in it, but we're not of it. Right? Why? Because when we got saved, we were elevated out of the world. And the Bible actually states this, that we're seated with Him in heavenly places right now. Right? That's where I am right now. That's who I'm in right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Watch this. Watch this. Hallelujah. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded. In other words, I love this. This particular verse has given me a lot of usage. Because you see, carnally minded, what is carne in Spanish? So it's scriptural to call somebody meathead. Right? Right? So, but watch this. To be carnally minded or keeping yourself with the mind of the flesh is not good, but you don't have to because we're already seated with Him in Christ Jesus. We got to set our minds on the things of Him. Quit trying to be righteous. You are righteous. Quit trying to be holy. He made you holy. Now, you should live according to that. I'm not saying just go out and do anything you want. God forbid that. That's stupid. But the reality is, that positionally, I've already been made right. I am in Christ Jesus. And you can't talk me out of that. I know that I was born again. I know when the Spirit of God came on the inside of me. If you don't know that, you might have been in church your whole life, but you're not sure of that. I would really get alone with God and say, Lord, I'm just submitting to You completely my whole life, right here, right now. And according to Your Word, I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Therefore, I'm going to live for Him the rest of my life. If you do that, it'll change everything. It changed because you become that new person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 7. It says, for the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law, nor indeed can be. So then who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. I'm speaking to you, all of those in this room and who are watching online. If you're born again, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you are not in the flesh. Because positionally, you've been raised with Him, and you are now in the Spirit. You have access to the Spirit, and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. Positionally, that's where you are seated. That's where you are. Hallelujah. And verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Do you see, you read that from a positional standpoint, it changes everything. I can be free from whatever the enemy is throwing at me because of what He's done for me. Now, I've just got a few minutes, so I just want to close and wrap this up a little bit. But we're going to look at some scriptures. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Glory to God. And verse 6. Hallelujah. It says, so we urge Titus that as he begun, that he would also complete this grace in you as well. What does that mean? What's he talking about? And I could go into this for a long way. But what he's saying, Paul's saying, look, God began a work of grace in you. When you got saved, that grace was working in you. He's going to see to it that it fulfills its purposes and its completeness in you. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6. And I'm saying this right now to you. I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You might look at me and say, you've got some flaws. And I'd say, absolutely I do. But I'm not walking in myself. I'm walking in Him. And the one who started the work in me is going to see it completely through to its completion. There's coming a day when I breathe my last breath on earth. And in that moment, I'm going to be one with Him. And when I'm one with Him, I'm going to see myself as I really am. And when I see that, I'm going to be right, completely right with Him. All of my identity is in Him. Colossians 2:10. And we'll close with this. Colossians 2:10. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to start in verse 9. For in Him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, say me. Or you could say, and I am complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and power. The totality of who I am is found in my identity that's in Christ Jesus. right? You see me the way I am. You see my flaws. And if you've been around me a long enough time, you see more and more and more and more. Except for Anita. She just sees my good spots. But watch this. But the reality is this, that he sees me in Jesus. And my identity in Jesus is I'm complete. Come on, right? So walk in that. Begin to talk like that. Begin to, Lord, you've made me more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Lord, you always cause me to walk in a triumphal procession over the plans and the schemes of the enemy. There's nothing, Lord, that I can't do because all of my strength comes from my relationship with you. I'm complete in you. Lord, you've made me accepted in the beloved. God, my identity is not in me. It's not who I am in Christ. It's who I am in Christ. It's not about me. It's about me being dead to me, but alive to Him. And living that life out of who He is. Glory to God. And He gets all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Woo! Glory to God. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that I am no longer have to suffer the condemnation of my past or even of my daddy's past or my grandpa's past or my great Adam's past, God. But I've been freed from that by the cross. And Lord, I just want to give you all the thanks and all the glory and all the honor. If you're listening online and Jesus is not your Lord, make Him your Lord. Enter into the rest that He wants to give you. And in Jesus' name, I just proclaim a blessing over you. Bless you in your soul, your spirit, and your body. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Woo!